Blog Talk Radio.
Can somebody call Blog Talk to make sure we're on the air?
Now I'll go.
Are you calling?
I was picking up my phone for something else, but I'll do it.
Okay, I just have to like redo my setting over here.
All right, so I'm just going to keep talking so Darren hears me. So Darren has something to hear. Hello, 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 hello.
Okay, great. You hear me? Talk, talk, talk.
Oh, hold on. Let me put you on the air. All right, you're on the air.
Hello. First time, long time.
Yeah.
To ask about the Jets offensive line.
Okay. We're good.
Awesome.
Are you guys going to change your backgrounds?
Can't.
Oh.
I had the same issue Sid had.
So we're ready to go?
Yeah.
By the way, I ordered a new computer, so.
Ooh.
I don't know when that'll get here, but it's on the way, allegedly. Ah, that's what I want. Okay.
All right. Are we ready to go?
I'm trying to center. Hold on one second. I want to center the window so that
do
when
it.
I'm
do it.
Well, when I'm looking at the screen, all three of you, I want to be looking at my camera. So
okay.
Can you tell me if I'm looking at the camera right now that I'm talking to you?
Looks like it.
Okay. Awesome.
Hold on. Let me just go to the metal injection page. Are you going to make me the host? You don't want to do that anymore.
I think maybe I record it. It'll be faster on my computer.
Sure.
And then sync. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
It took forever to render, remember?
But are you going to, like, did you like it switched up from, like, gallery view to single person? Or was it too much switching on the last show?
I liked it. Yeah, no. I liked switching back and forth. I it depends. Like, someone's telling the story. Like, I get what you're saying with the reactions, but sometimes I felt like I really should just be a one show.
Just of the person talking?
Yeah. Like, it depends on what the thing is. But mostly you think it should be in speaker view or mostly in gallery view? What do you
think? I think mostly in gallery view.
Rob, what the hell is your background?
Oh,
have you never seen Half-Face?
Yeah, Half-Face, that's right.
Not in a very long time. But all right.
It's the couch with the guy.
I see it now.
Is that Stephen Wright?
Stephen Wright.
Yeah, okay. Stephen Wright. Yeah, he's the guy on the couch.
It looks like the background of Pipe Bomb T-Pain Train TV. I know that's only for me and Rob. But.
All right. So.
So what do you guys think, Darren and Sid?
What?
Like on the last show, from like gallery view to the speaker, or just having the speaker?
Should it be the four of us up at the same time, or just the person talking?
I think the four of us.
I think it should be the four of us, unless there's someone telling like a long story that's focused on them, like when Dave Hill was on.
Yeah,
that's right. I agree. Okay.
So
just, all right, let's go live.
Okay. Yeah. I hear background noise.
Okay, stop.
All right. I'm going to start with the screen share, and then we're going to go live.
You made the bland?
Yeah.
And what time is Lou?
We're starting. Everyone stop talking. We're starting. Everyone please mute their mics.
This is your announcement. This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Life is so weird right now. This week we had Axl Rose feuding with Steve McHutchen. What's next? Richie Sambora feuding with Wilbur Ross. See? I know names. Look at all those names I just said. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Yeah, we are live! Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob. Bringing it to you right now, living it up when you're going down. I don't know, but I'm sorry. That was embarrassing. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob here with Noah, Sid, and 3D, who have hopefully unmuted their mics. And yep. You could be a part of the show. I hear all of you. You could be a part of the show as well if you're listening live. We are live every Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At metalinjection.net/livecast. And of course, if the archives are available all over the internet. And we're doing video now that we're all in quarantine and just recording our own little webcams. So hopefully you can be a part of the show. And if this show isn't enough for you, you can get more show at our Patreon page, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast, in addition to video versions of these quarantine casts. You'll get one bonus episode a month, and this month, everyone's been raving about it. So everyone loves it. So many people said many great things. It's the music draft, where we each draft a super group. We each get around. We each pick a guitarist, a vocalist, all the other members of the band. And it came out really funny, and you can listen to that at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast for $5 a month. And thank you, as always, for listening. We have a very special guest, and he's already here, so I don't even know why even hold up the show? Why even make him wait any longer? Maybe let's just bring him on. Hopefully we won't catch him off guard, but that would be pretty funny if we did. Let's bring in Lou Brutus onto the show. Lou, are you there? He's smart.
Connecting audio.
Hi, Lou.
If we can get him on.
We see a hat.
And you could be a part of he might be social mediating for now, but you got to hand it to him. The man knows how to promote. Because Lou's on to talk about his new book.
Hey.
Hello, Lou.
There he is.
The book is Sonic Warrior, My Life as a Rock and Roll Reprobate, Tales of Sex, Drugs, and Vomiting at Inopportune Moments. Lou, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Under the circumstances, so far, so good.
Same.
Well, Lou, thank you so much for coming on the show. Getting a little echo here. Let me cut that out. thanks for coming on the show. And I love the background. You are a promoter. You have written a book. You've come from the world of rock radio. And I can relate to that. I used to be a DJ on Sirius XM Liquid Metal, and you've seen your fair share of tales, and you've combined these tales into something that people refer to as a memoir. Is that correct?
Yeah, more or less. It's a collection of stories. Each chapter is a standalone story, and it comes from different points of my life and career. And I've been doing this shit since I'm a kid. So if you do anything for 40 years or so, chances are you're going to get a lot of fucked up stories all running together. And if you put them together in a book, it looks impressive, but you know, these are all the aberrations, you know, as all of you know, usually backstage is boring and it's people screaming into their phones, trying to get the rock show done. However, now and then, crazy, out of the ordinary things happen. And that's basically what the book tends to deal with, because it's a lot more interesting than saying, I watched the tour manager scream into his phone in the production office backstage every night on the Slipknot tour for the last week.
Where do you even begin? I mean, you have so many stories. How do you remember everything? Where do you even start when you put this book together?
You know, the there's no rhyme or reason to the order of the chapters, except that the first chapter in it is entitled The Time I Attended My First Concert and Threw Up on Carlos Sanchez. Yes. And that one basically gives a little background bio information and of course talks about the first concert I saw, which was Black Sabbath and Ted Nugent at Madison Square Garden in December of 1976. But other than that, you know, it was a matter of which were the easiest to write, because I've never written a book before. And a lot of what guided me for which stories to put in was based on input that I got from, you know, other media people that I know or rock star friends that I have who, you know, were always on me to write a book. And, you know, you've got to put the story about throwing up out of the helicopter at Live Aid, or you've got to tell the story about going up to the Arctic with Metallica, or you've got to tell the story about, you know, being dressed as Hunter Thompson and chasing a buck naked Corey Taylor around the stage in Madison, Wisconsin with a fly swat, you know.
Dressing up like a lobster.
What's that?
Dressing up like a lobster.
Yeah. The Aquabats. and to a metal crowd, they might not know the Aquabats, but I think one of the fun things of the book is it really jumps genres, because, you know, as deeply as I've worked with hard rock and metal and heavy music all these years, there are a ton of other bands that I like and I've been around. So I wanted to tell all of the stories. And the one you're referring to is they're one of the craziest bands on the planet, the Aquabats. They're like surfing superheroes. And they dressed me up as a lobster once, and they kicked the living shit out of me on stage. I thought I was going to come out of there with no teeth. But yeah, it really, the book in a lot of ways is sort of like a, I hate to use the term, like a love letter to rock and roll, because that sounds kind of lame. But it really does get to the heart of how much I love music and, you know, why I wanted to be involved in all this stuff my entire life. So, and hopefully it's a good read. You know, the reviews have been great, and the reaction from everybody has been really fantastic. You know, Corey Taylor, who I referred to just a moment ago, wrote a great foreword for the book, which is really funny. And he was one of the people who stayed on me for several years about getting the book done. You know, he and I have been swapping stories for a long time. And, you know, I've always busted his balls because I'm older than him. So I've seen a lot of bands that he never got a chance to see, but then he turns right around and busts my balls because I'm older than him. But it worked out for the book and getting some stories into it. So
now, you said people called you to include stories. Did the opposite happen as well? Like, Lou, that night in Vancouver, you better not put that in your book, because that is something that I run into as well.
Funny that you should mention that. And I want to preface it by saying, when I first sat down to write the book, when I see it, like I had a couple of false starts, but when I seriously sat down to do the book, I had to figure out what kind of book I wanted to write. And I knew I did not want to write a book that shit all over other people or made them look bad. And that probably would have sold a lot more copies. But I knew I could tell really good and funny and insightful stories without resorting to like breaking up somebody's marriage or, you know, getting them put back in rehab or whatever the circumstances may or may not have been. I'm not saying anything. More to your question. There were a number of people when the word got out, like when we first announced the book officially, the phone lit up for like a week or two after that with hey Lou, it's me. Hey man, what you doing? Hey, I hear you're in the book. Yeah, I am. So what kind of things are in the book? Would there be stories about blah, 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 blah? And I'd be like, no, that's not in there. And then there are, you know, if you know how to sort of read in between the lines, you can figure out a lot more than I state specifically. But that's part of the fun of the book. And again, really, I think the stories and the chapters all stand on their own. And it would not have been the right tone for me if it had been sort of a breathless tell-all memoir of the things I've seen. Because I'm sure all of us have seen enough horrible shit done by other people, particularly rock stars, that we could write a book about. But, you know, again, I didn't want to be an asshole, so I wrote the kind of book that I wanted to write.
Well,
right. you weren't ready to burn some bridges.
There's one story that I'd love for you to share. And, you know, like, you don't really share anything like that sordid. It's, you're kind of like the butt of the joke in the chapters, you know, like in a way. But there's one story in particular that I really love because I really related to it. You talk about like not really drinking on the job or smoking weed. And you had this invitation by Snoop Dogg. You didn't know that he was back on the Ganj. And you had these like Cuban cigars. You offered him one and then he offered you a blunt. And unbeknownst to you, what happened?
Well, this was, I want to say it was the year 2000, maybe 2002. It's certainly correct in the book. It was one of Linkin Park's Project Revolution tours where they used to put together fairly eclectic lineups for like a major rock show. They would put hip hop artists on, they would put punk bands on, they would put ska bands on. And that one year in particular, Snoop was on, and like you referred to, this was right in the middle. I don't know if everyone will recall it, but there was a famous couple of months where Snoop is off the Ganj, Snoop has renounced weed, and it was like a big deal. And right, I swear to God, it was right in the middle of all this. I had wrapped up all my interviews that day. It was in Camden, New Jersey. Had done all my interviews by late afternoon, and my producer came to me and said, hey, it's not on your schedule, but do you want to talk to Snoop Dogg? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to talk to Snoop Dogg. Really interesting guy. And hey, I hear he's not smoking weed. I didn't have anything prepared to speak to him about, but I figured that was an easy enough start. And sure enough, I walk in, and like you said, I just come back from Bermuda, so I had Cuban cigars. And I figured, oh, I saw cigars on the coffee table, so I gave one to Snoop. And he smelled, he said, Lou Brutus, a true pimp. And he lit the mini Cohiba up, and then I start to roll the tape, and sure enough he lights his cigar and hands it to me, and this is what a dopey farm boy fuck I am. I'm like thinking to myself, well gosh, Mr. Dog, he's a terribly nice gentleman. He's offered me one of his own cigars, and why is there something green stick? Oh my God, it's marijuana! And I took two hits off of it, and I only took the first, at that point I hadn't smoked weed in like 10 years. And I didn't want to hit it just because I knew I'd get really wasted. And then he and his guys are like staring at me. I'm like, fuck, I got to hit this. So I hit it twice as it went around. I got so, the name of the full title of the chapter is The Time Snoop Dogg Got Me So High I Drooled in My Own Lap. And I literally couldn't even make it through the interview. And I end up out at the soundboard to watch Korn set. And I look like an extra from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm staring up at the ceiling, looking at like colored lights up in the ceiling that weren't there. That's how high I was. And I feel something itchy on my chin. And I look down and there is this thick, snotty strand of drool from my mouth to my chin. And I look down and there is a puddle of drool in my lap. And I looked like I was on fucking Thorazine or something. And then I had to drive home a couple hours to DC. But yeah, true story. I think the last two times I smoked weed, there's another chapter that refers to the previous time. And that chapter is entitled The Time Dr. Hunter S. Thompson Menaced Me with Depraved Violence in a Bottle of Chivas Regal. And same deal. I hadn't smoked weed in years. And Hunter Thompson handed me a joint. And let me tell you something. When Hunter Thompson handed you a joint, I don't care what fucking program you've been in or what you're doing or not doing, you hit it. And he also wrenched my head back. He pulled me by my hair. And I'm like, oh, like this. He almost snapped my neck and then poured a, you know, like a good third of a bottle of Chivas Regal in my mouth, down my throat, all over my face. So. And I vomit a lot in the book too. So again, if you're missing live shows,
it's in the title, I would hope so.
Vomiting, yeah. You know, this is the right book. But that's what, and I'm glad you mentioned the entire book title, because not everybody does. I think they're grossed out by it. But I just thought, well, if I was looking through a list of titles of rock books, and I saw one that said Sonic Warrior, My Life is a Rock and Roll Reprobate, Tales of Sex, Drugs, and Vomiting at Inopportune Moments, I'd look at that one and go, well, fuck it, I'm buying that. That's the book I'm buying, you know. And it's also why the chapters have very long and involved titles as well, like the time I went to the Arctic with Metallica, or the time I went to the Arctic and got in a mosh pit with a bunch of kids in polar bear fur while Metallica sang about sodomizing a goat, and all of the other ones, the time our tour bus ran over a guy on the New Jersey Turnpike, you know, and I tried to write the chapter titles in a way that seemingly gave away the whole chapter, and yet when you peel it back, there's just lots of other wacky, crazy, horrible, funny shit that goes on. But one
thing... How long is that flight to Antarctica?
Say again, I'm sorry?
How long is that flight to Antarctica to do that?
To the Arctic? We flew, I think it was from Chicago to Yellowknife, and Yellowknife is way up north in the Northwestern Territories. If you look at a map of Canada, Northwestern Territories are, duh, in the Northwest. We flew to Inuvik, and Inuvik is where the Northwest Territories Highway ends. That's basically the end of most civilization. But Tuktoyaktuk, and that took, I'm going to say, 4 hours flying north, I think, on like a, you know, 737-ish kind of plane. And we stayed in Inuvik until it was the day of the show. And just for folks who don't know, Metallica did a private concert at, some people would say Eskimo Village, and I try and correct them. It's Inuit is the correct term for the native people who live in that part of the world. And Tuktoyaktuk, where Metallica played, is this village on the north coast of Canada. It's not only above the Arctic Circle, it's above the tree line, so nothing grows higher than your shin. And it's like fucking tundra. And in the middle of this tundra is this town with a couple of crossroads, but the roads don't go anywhere. The highways don't go there. If you want to drive there, you have to wait for the Mackenzie River to freeze. Then you drive from Inuvik, where we stayed. You drive north on the river for 125 miles. You bang a turn when you hit the Arctic Ocean, and then you're in Tuktoyaktuk. And it was a sponsored thing from Molson Beer. They used to do a Molson ice party every year, and they would pick cool bands to play exotic places in Canada. And the first year they did it in the U.S., they really wanted it to be something crazy. So they picked literally the remotest spot you could pick on mainland North America. And they brought Metallica. This is 1997, if I remember correctly. So they're just exploding. They're just the hottest band in the world. And you had Metallica. You had Courtney Love and Hole. Veruca Salt, who were friends of mine from Chicago, and a great Canadian band who I haven't seen since then called Moist. And the four bands played in this village in front of, a total of maybe 200 to 300 people, contest winners who were flown in. I was like the lone media representative, and the people who lived there, and a bunch of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police from that area who got to go to the show. And I should add, and I mentioned it in the chapter, some Metallica fans chartered seaplanes. They fucking hired pilots to fly them, not knowing whether they'd get in or not, because technically they weren't going to be allowed in. And I remember I was standing near some of the management people when some of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police walked up and said, "Hey, we got a problem." And the management is like, "Whoa, what's the matter?" And they said, "Well, some fans just landed in seaplanes out on the river. What should we do?" And everybody was like, "Holy shit, let them in to watch the show." Because there was no tickets, because if you were there, you were allowed to go to the show. There were just so few people in the entire town. And again, like a lot of it I hit on in the book, I've been lucky that overall, I've been to 3,000, I say music events, just because I've been to something so small you wouldn't even consider them a concert. And that goes from seeing a single band at some small bar, right up to mega festivals where I may have seen 40 bands that day, but I only counted as one event. But in all of these things that I've seen, the thousands that I've attended around the world, that Metallica show really was one of the most special. You knew that you were at something that really wasn't going to come again like that. And I've been to a few shows like that. There's the chapter on Live Aid. One chapter that did not make the book that I just didn't get around to writing, that if I do a second book, if I get to, will certainly be in it, will be on the Freddie Mercury tribute show, which was, I want to say, 1992 at the old Wembley Stadium in London, the year after Freddie passed away. And that was an all-star lineup. You had different bands come out and play sets, Def Leppard, Metallica, Extreme. And then for the second half of the show, the surviving members of Queen, they brought out every huge rock star on the planet. And if I had to pick like one show that was the most spectacular, coolest thing I saw, it likely would be the Freddie Mercury tribute show. It was, you know, James from Metallica doing Stone Cold Crazy with Queen, and then David Bowie and Annie Lennox doing Under Pressure. It was just, and it went on and on and on. And even though
I remember that footage of like Tony Iommi just worshiping Brian May, and it's just like, wow, for Tony Iommi to be like flipping out over somebody.
Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't realize, Tony Iommi and Brian May have been best friends for decades. So it was no surprise. Tony was up there. I can't remember the exact set list and lineup, but I think Tony played on several different songs. He was just up there playing. And, you know, the first band I ever saw in concert, like I mentioned before, was Black Sabbath. So I'm always excited to see Tony. But to see him up there, basically as backup, in the best of ways, I don't mean that as a dig. I mean he's up there for the best of reasons.
Willingly,
of his best friends. It was really just one of those things. It just took your breath away. You know, all those cliche things you hear, oh, it was magic, oh, it was a spiritual moment, all that shit, in this case, at that show, was all absolutely true.
Well, before we wind down, I did want to talk a little bit about rock radio, obviously being someone who has quite a bit of experience with it. You know, it's something we talk about on the show here a lot, and mainly about how, you know, active rock, hard rock stations are kind of going away. Like, we're all based in New York, all of us hosts. There's no real hard rock station here. There's a classic rock station, and that's really the only outlet now for rock. And with, you know, not to speak of like, the, you know, where radio is in general as a format in terms of popularity and acceptance, but like, how do you see, like, with rock radio and just rock in general, like, how is there a way to get back to the sort of like mainstream situation that we were in maybe like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, or is it just a niche thing?
You know, I know it's easy to explain, particularly hard rock, or for people who don't know, like you mentioned, active rock is what like the modern hard rock format would be referred to in the broadcast industry. It's easy to say, yeah, it's only a niche, but who sells all the concert tickets? Like, I refuse to believe that this is a niche, and, you know, virus nonsense aside, most of the concert tickets sold around the country are rock tickets, and that's split up really well between, you know, harder, newer bands, and, you know, there are still big classic rock bands that sell a lot of tickets, and, you know, classic rock should certainly be on the radio as much as it is, but yeah, I scratch my head at how little respect rock is given in general, and specifically hard modern rock. Again, whatever labels people want to, I'm not into labels, I'm just trying to describe it as people would best understand. Part of the reason is, I think sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and one thing that really pisses me off is often you see a band start to succeed in rock, and the minute that they start to sell some albums or sell some tickets, there's a whole lot of people, both fans and music media people, who want to shit all over them. And it's like, fuck, we tear down our own houses. The other thing is, we all have to band together and start to fight for respect from the rest of the industry. The most glaring example of that is the fucking Grammy Awards. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a NARIS member, I'm a Grammy voter, and I've been ready to quit on a couple of occasions, but then I thought, I don't want to give up. You know, right. when you know, it pisses me off when they leave famous hard rock people like Vinnie Paul out of the memorial segments, or they refuse to put anybody on the telecast. You know, I floated the idea again. Like, I'm no bigwig in this business, so I can't command this kind of movement from people. But maybe rock bands start to sue the Grammy Awards, because the Grammy Awards are supposed to represent all of the membership. And if the only bands getting on there are fucking pop bands, and again, I have nothing against pop music, and there are great pop musicians. It's like any other genre. Some of it's great and some of it sucks. Some of it you think should win some awards and maybe some of it shouldn't. And so I do not have an axe to grind against pop per se, but the fact that they get basically the entire telecast is bullshit. And I know, and I know the initial reaction from a lot of people in rock is to go, oh, fuck it. It's the fucking Grammy Awards. Nobody cares. Fuck them. We don't need them. Well, that's a shitty attitude to have. And if you wonder why we're not covered on as many radio formats or the our band don't get on TV shows as much, it's because we have ceded this ground to other genres and other formats. And I think the time has come where we have to fight for what we deserve. And part of that is getting our bands, our artists, back on things like the Grammy Awards. The Grammy Awards get seen by zillions of people around the world. Why the fuck shouldn't we have all the rock bands we can on there? And by the way, it is not lost on me that sometimes the only thing that you get for rock on the Grammy Awards is Dave Grohl for 5 seconds applauding somebody. And that's it. It's like, well, there we
are. There's
rock and roll for this year.
Yeah.
So again,
I agree. It's like representation. It's putting ourselves in front of those eyeballs. Advertisers see it. Advertisers will then, it's a whole thing, because it's like with that, it kind of helps educate these brands to feature rock, and then it'll help rock. It'll help all rock bands if a rock band gets pulled up into that mainstream architecture.
Go ahead. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just want to remind people, if they want to get my fabulous best-selling book, you can get it through Amazon. You can get the ebook through Kindle or anywhere you get ebooks. And of course, the audiobook, which I narrated myself, is available from Audible and anywhere you get audiobooks. But if you need a break from all these shitty things happening and you miss concerts, this, I hope, will be a really good book for you to check out. And I appreciate the time on here. And you guys do great work. And I'm really honored to be on.
Thanks. And also,
thank you for taking the time to hang out with us.
And have a chance to talk about that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We're all good?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all set. But do you want to plug your photography, by the way? I know we just mentioned it.
Oh, yeah, no. Hey, just to follow Lou Brutus on Instagram for all those neat photos you've been taking of bands over the years.
Oh, yeah, and lately I've been trying to put more of the concert photography up on Instagram, just because we can't go to live shows. So at Lou Brutus on Instagram, at Lou Brutus on Twitter, Lou Brutus Rocks on Facebook. And again, if you forget any of that or you need info on the book, the website is chock full of info. And actually, there's galleries of tons of photos, too, so loubrutus.com. And thank you again.
Thank you so much, Lou. Have a great night. All right. That was Lou. Thank you. And we are back, the four of us, Darren and Sid. How are you guys doing?
Darren and Sid were frozen the whole time. The internet connection sucked.
I had a question, but we blew past it before I had a chance to get it in.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe next time we'll have Lou back.
He said that when he went to the Arctic
with Metallica.
Oh, it's
but,
7 o'clock.
He said
good
he,
thing we
the
got Lou off
was,
for the.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the 7 o'clock thing. Well, I was going to say something about the fact that I never knew that they played the Arctic. I knew that they played Antarctica.
Somehow in my mind, I conflated the two.
We can talk over the video, apparently.
Because you
had a joke about us being frozen.
Someone is blowing a chauffeur.
You got frozen, motherfucker. Really?
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
I feel like Rob is frozen. I don't know.
I'm not frozen. I'm here.
I think it's that guy behind him. Like, fell on his Ethernet
cable.
You're
frozen.
I can hear you.
You're frozen to us. I see you as a still image, but I hear your voice. I hear your voice.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Noah, too. All
right.
Oh, now Rob's gone altogether.
Now,
so,
now Rob,
are you back?
Wait,
what's
gone.
Happening?
I rebooted my video. Yeah.
Welcome
to live cast.
This is absolutely
Zoom tech support.
This is riveting for the
everybody's
audio
going through it. It's
Zoom
fine.
Is so good for 1 week. Yeah. Hey, Rob.
It did work pretty well last week.
Right.
Rob.
Hey.
Hi.
Rob, let's just proceed as normal because I see you as a still image, but I hear you perfectly. Do you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, let's just. I mean, this is an audio.
All I hear are pots and pans.
So
let's
saying.
Continue providing audio.
Let's do this. As...
Oh boy.
Right. Exactly. Now I don't
there
hear
does
Rob at
seem
all.
To be a delay with everyone's audio, though.
Yeah.
I hear.
Cool.
I hear Sid and you. Yep.
All right. I think we should edit this off.
You want to restart the call?
The archive. I'm not sure that that would do anything.
Do you want to restart the call?
It seems to. I don't think that would do anything. I think that would break the stream, the embed, like the live stream. Like I'd have to update it. It says is anyone getting this? Your internet connection is unstable. Is that just me getting that? Might be some
of
my
like a couple minutes ago.
For all of us.
I didn't see it.
Maybe or maybe it's just Zoom. Maybe like there's so many people on Zoom. How about
he works for
how
Zoom.
Are things now? Better or worse?
Oh. Oh, now I'm getting that message.
There is so much.
Thanks a lot, Noah.
Yeah, now I don't see Noah.
Now I'm getting that message as well.
I think that's why the end of that Lou Brutus tribute was a little awkward. Because I think that's when we start our internet.
Oh, okay.
Start responding and then like stop. And then oh, okay. Yeah, that's weird.
I was going
to
ask him if we should petition.
It's going to be our life from now on.
Next year. Yes.
Petition what's it?
I was going to ask if we should petition the Grammys to have Volby perform next year. He probably would have been into that.
So he's a big Volby fan?
Probably.
All right, we're gonna have to restart this. It's just not working. Let's exit and then re-enter the room. Thank you, everyone. Be patient.
Okay. Be right back, friends.
So am I hanging up on this thing? Travis McCready?
Yes.
Okay. Rob will be selling water at the Travis McCready show.
McCready. McCready. Because he's greedy for performing right now.
Oh, I see.
He's willing to murder people to may sell tickets.
So this is now, by the way, this is an official concert in that like you can get tickets on Ticketmaster. This isn't just like I didn't look it up. I'll look it up.
So Ticketmaster did not like you would, even though Ticketmaster is shitty in general, I would think that their corporate sensibility would, they would not want to involve themselves in this.
You are wrong. Their corporate sensibility would want to get shows started as soon as possible so they could start making money. So here's how it works.
Is this the only link on the Ticketmaster page? Like, if you go to Ticketmaster.com, like, if it's just this show and that's it? Like,
Ticketmaster is probably selling tickets to all non-canceled shows.
Right.
They'll hold on to your money. They don't care.
It's true.
So I just want to be clear. Like, I'm not defending Ticketmaster. I just think there's such negative publicity around things like this.
Well, hear me out.
Not in Arkansas.
Arkansas is actually one of the first states to, like, reopen. And Missouri as well. Sorry, let me find this post. Okay, here we go. Ticketmaster says that the venue typically has a capacity of 1,100 people, and it will be reduced to 229 seats, separated into what Ticketmaster is calling fan pods. Ticketmaster will be selling groups in of 2 to 12 tickets, and then distancing those seats at least 6 feet apart from other concert goers. What group of 12 is quarantining together? Why do you need 12 seats together?
The Brady Bunch will be going to this concert. Coincidentally, fan pods is what they're calling the body bags when they drag out of the there goes another 6 fan pods.
All attendees will be required to wear face masks and have their temperature taken upon entry. By the way, I just want to say, having your temperature taken seems like the emptiest gesture to me, because it's like, it doesn't mean it. I mean, sure, I guess if you have a fever, you shouldn't be let in regardless.
Well, Rob, in this case, it won't be empty because they'll be doing it rectally. So there will be nothing empty about it. They're going to jam it right up your cornhole.
Also, it's not empty for the poor fucking venue worker that has to take these idiots' temperature
and catch everything that they're
bringing.
Yeah, by the way, it's not like a thermometer they're sticking in their tongue. It's a wand. It's like a gun.
Even
it's like a ray gun.
Even still.
You keep it distant. All attendees will be required to wear face masks and have their temperature taken. Face masks will be sold at the event to attendees who do not bring any, because God forbid they provide them. Concessions will be served in sealable containers and cups. Bathrooms will be limited to 10 people at a time. Why are they even selling concessions?
Don't sell food or drinks. People have to take their masks off to consume it.
Listen, when I'm rocking out to Mr. McGreedy, I need some fucking wings. I'm sorry. I'll flip it right in under the mask. I'll have my wing.
And I need my approved Lester McGreedy face mask, too, with the logo on it. The tour logo with all the tour stops on it across my fucking lips and nose.
It just says here.
They
give you one of these masks like we saw last week, that woman at that truck. You just cut out the mouth so you can eat.
Oh, right. Okay.
You still wear a mask, but you can.
They could use those like sexy underwear with like the zipper as a face mask, and you just like unzip it.
Tickets are $20. Let me share my screen really quick so you guys could see how, like, there's really not that many tickets left, but just to see how they split it up, I feel like it is indicative of what you'll be expecting.
Rob, did you get any comps for this?
Is Metal Injection sponsoring?
Metal Injection is not sponsoring. So here's the seats. Only the upper area is now available.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's all sold out there?
Yeah. Well, is or not being sold. Because if you see all the tickets available, there's these six packs, and then there's a row that they're keeping distant, and then another six pack.
So you think, so if I want to go to this show, I have to buy all six of those seats?
I don't know. Let's see. No, I could just buy, purchase six seats. Yes.
Okay.
Wow. So is that $20 a seat?
Plus fees.
Oh, that's how they get you. So if you want to go with your buddy or something, you got to buy six. So they're not really $20. They're really $120.
Plus probably another $100 in fees.
That's how much it costs. Is this illegal to be broadcasting a Ticketmaster purchase?
Our entire audience right now is rooting for you to accidentally buy these tickets.
So it's another $67 in fees?
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
It, look at it. There's a facility charge, a $6 service fee.
What is the service fee? You're doing all the work.
We're taking your temperature, goddammit.
The facility charge is the facility charges you $3 for the honor of scanning your ticket, like that.
And service fee on paper is like they're running their website and it's like
right.
Funds them.
This whole paying the tech.
Okay. How about order processing fee? You're doing all the work. You clicked all those tickets.
Right. You're paying $2 for the privilege of ordering.
That's allegedly probably like some jerk off sitting in his house that has to take care of each order and like send the tickets out or whatever.
But they're not. It's all
it all computer
online tickets.
Yeah, this
just
is a mobile
tickets.
Ticket. Yeah, they're saying mobile or will call. I guess for will call, then if you choose will call, then I understand the processing fee.
Press got it. Purchase ticket.
Before they sell out, let's go.
No.
Next road trip.
Rob, put your credit card information in on the screen. All this stuff. What an evil, satanic fucking company this is. They are like more evil than Pazuzu. They're worse than the orange Pazuzu. They are the motherfucking red Pazuzu.
Like, are they worse or is the venue worse for having the show go on?
It's the venue.
Both.
Ticketmaster.
Both.
Look, Ticketmaster. They're providing the service. Like,
no, you're providing the service. You're doing all the work.
You know,
they're not the ones deciding to do the show. They're, but like this whole thing, if we could just take a step back, this whole thing is ridiculous. Why? How are there shows before there's tests? How are you doing any shows if you don't know if the person has fucking coronavirus or not?
Well, they're gonna take their temperature, Rob. Didn't you hear?
Duh.
They're going to wave a wand.
At this point, it's like, look, I honestly hate when other shows start doing medical advice or medical speculation because I feel it's a little, like, leave that to the professionals. But I feel like it's a lot. But having said that, let me do a little medical talk.
Okay,
like
Dr.
A lot of these coronavirus cases, they don't even have a fever. So it's like, how do you know? You just don't know. You can't, like, how –
They got the eyes. They got the coronavirus eyes. You can see it in their expression.
Everyone has just, like, given up on the idea of just mass testing. Like, we need the fucking test.
Oh, I took an antibody test.
What?
And I'm going to get the result on Thursday, so I have no updates.
How'd that happen?
They took my blood. They
Who's they?
The doctor.
They just came to your door? You don't know that was the doctor?
No, I went to the doctor's office.
Okay.
So I don't want. Did you have to sign a disclaimer? A waiver, rather?
Ooh, ice cream truck.
Who's that coming from? It's not me.
It's for me.
Have an ice cream truck on my block every night, too, though, but that's not me.
Rob, does the ice cream man just sit outside your window because he thinks like you're a mark or something?
And just lower down a dollar like on a fishing pole?
It's like waiting for Godot.
I was wondering, how does that work? How are you eating how are you eating ice cream if you're out in public? Like, do you just take it home? Like, what do you think?
Rob, I go out on my runs every day with extreme safety precautions, by the way. And I see people eating. I see people touching things. I see people with no masks. I see people walking in close-knit huddles of 6, 7, and 8 people at a time. They are doing absolutely, like, not everybody, obviously. I would say this is a minority of people.
Some people are not taking it seriously. I agree.
But it's not that small of a minority. It's a good 20 to 25% of people doing this.
Yeah.
Shit. And it's fucking frightening.
It is scary. And I think it's really, the scariest is the, how our, and I don't want to fall down too far down this rabbit hole, how the president gives messaging on safety precautions and then kind of contradicts his messaging.
He begrudgingly gives the messaging and then doesn't follow any of the messaging himself.
But Noah, to your antibody test thing, the primary care doctor that I have also offers it, and I was interested in it. And they were like, we can give you the test, but you have to sign this waiver. And I want to read this waiver. And this waiver just kind of shows you tells you everything you need to know about these antibody tests. Because they, like, from what I've read, again, I'm not a scientist, that because of how strict the FDA was with the other tests, they were much looser with these antibody tests, where they've approved so many of them that a lot of them have false positives or false negatives. So with that said, before you come in, this was the disclaimer, the waiver I had to agree to. Before you come in, we want to make sure that you're aware of some limitations of this first generation of antibody testing. In particular, the test may have false positives and false negatives and cannot be used as the sole basis to diagnose or exclude COVID-19 infection or to inform infection status. Negative results do not rule out COVID-19 infection.
What's the point?
Particularly in those who have been in contact with the virus.
It sounds like Trump.
Hold on. Positive results may be due to past or present infection with non-COVID-19 coronavirus strains and are not intended to imply that you are immune to COVID-19. This test has not been reviewed by the NDA. Do you consent for testing based on this disclaimer? It's like, why even bother?
Yeah, yeah. What's the point? It's to make people feel better. That's all. But yeah, what? So antibodies present in your system would mean you've had it already and it's been through you, correct?
Right. You have to have it or have had it for the antibody test to come back positive.
Okay. But also, now let's say they had 100% antibody test that worked perfectly, hypothetically, okay? You still can get it, correct? Like you can get a different strain of COVID-19.
Well, that's not clear.
They don't know.
They don't know if you right exactly.
So we should act like
you don't know. Yes. We don't know that you are fully immune to getting it again because it's such a new virus that there hasn't been enough case studies and not like we're learning by the day.
And also because the
3 months behind.
Because the healthcare system in this country has been stripped for profit and we can't test anybody either or study it. Because we're like a third world country when it comes to hospitals and stuff.
Well, I got it not because I want to go out in public and, you know, I think that if I have antibodies, I'm safe. I got it because I want to know if I had coronavirus because I got really sick in a way that I hadn't gotten sick before, like in late February. And it was before they were saying that coronavirus was even here.
Hmm.
How did you get sick? What were your symptoms?
I had a little bit of a temperature, but it wasn't like that high, but it was not 98 degrees. I had stomach aches and pooping issues. I had migraines and night sweats and just like, and I had a cough, but I didn't have mucus. So I went to the doctor for it. Cause I was like, what is this? And I had it for like over a week and, they just like, said, oh, you just need to rest. It's nothing. And they just checked me for strep throat, which I didn't have.
Did they give you a pregnancy test?
I was going to make the same joke.
I wasn't.
Thanks, Darren.
You're welcome.
No, they didn't.
I had a much worse one, but I'll let it go.
213, why not? Did you have a pregnancy joke? Let us know while we're live. So
I was going to ask if you were sure that it was the doctor and not just like the Mr. Softy man outside, like the knock on your door.
Another thing, so it's blowing my mind. Like, you know, health experts have said fall 2021. I don't like to say 2000.
Yeah, after 2019, I feel like you have to start saying 20. Like, there's no more.
You don't have to.
It just sounds awkward now. Like, the reason you couldn't say. Because 2001 just sounded weird, but now that it's, you know, now that we're into real numbers, it's no different than like 1986 or something. Just say 20, motherfuckers.
Well, so it's amazing to me. Health experts have said, you know, mass gatherings fall 2021, and like the music industry is just fucking hell bent on getting shows open before that, like before. We have a fucking mass testing before we have a vaccine, before any of that. And so there was there's all these alliances forming, all these like coalitions, like how do we work together to fucking just, you know, blindly do this. And so there's an Event Safety Alliance reopening guide that was just released. With it's a 25-page thing on like how you can reopen, and it's absurd. It's like, you know, you got to do masks and like all the bathrooms have to be washed every like half hour. It's like, what? Like, how are you even?
I'm okay with that so far.
No, it's not that it's not bathrooms. Not that it's not good. It's like, how do they are they going to be expected to do all this shit?
Right. As soon as vendors load in, should be regularly disinfected during the show. And it's like everything, door handles, bike racks, handrails, blah, 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 blah. But then like they're saying you also now have, they're going to have to put like tape on the floor in GA to create essentially fan
oh,
pods.
God, good luck.
And to enforce social distancing at the shows. Because now they're going to, I guess the idea is, you know, with the reopening, everyone's saying you first reopen at like 25% capacity. So mm-hmm. they're going to undersell all these shows. And they're going to have these little fans, like little areas. And there's going to be a banning of mosh pits and crowd surf. Which for me, I love it.
Yeah. So far, everything's a positive development in this story.
But I can't see it being safe to go to shows right now. And they're saying like, oh, in the smoking area, you have to enforce social distancing. Why is there a smoking area? What the fuck? Like, if people are smoking, their mouths are like.
Because, Rob, if you promote a show without a smoking area.
My freedoms.
95% of the people who would go to the show will not go to the show.
Right. Or they won't drink because when you drink, you die for a cigarette, you know, whatever. This whole thing is just so
just pointless. I mean, they should not be doing shows full stop. So anything that you do to try to squeeze a show out of your opportunity to squeeze a show out is going to be absurd. Like, everything about it is absurd.
I have a question. Would you want to watch a band on Zoom? Like if they somehow did a show over Zoom?
No.
Nah.
That's the thing. So now, I don't care.
I could just go on YouTube.
Personally.
There's already YouTube. You could see an actual concert.
Well, let me, to your point, Noah, there's virtual concerts being announced now.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Silence is planning a virtual world tour. That's my name coming from. Here's the press release. Suicide Silence announces virtual world tour. With unique sets, exclusive merchandise, and custom experiences in each market. Each show will feature a professionally filmed, multi-camera, live set, along with an extensive post-performance Q&A. Every market will have its ticket purchase geo-gated within a reasonable radius so that only those in the general area can view this particular stream. Fans will be able to participate in a live chat with each other and the band throughout the experience. All ticket purchasers will have access to exclusive merch collection that includes an official tour shirt specifically for their market, as well as a number of other items that will never be sold elsewhere. The stream performance will go on sale several weeks or months in advance, whereas fans will be able to communicate their set list preferences and make other special requests leading up to the show.
Other special requests? What does that mean?
I don't know. Shout outs? Who knows what that can mean?
Play this song with one testicle hanging out? Like, how specific can we get with these requests?
It's become an OnlyFans.
Right? I mean, why? Oh, Bruno!
Hello, Bruno's head only. How are you? Hi. Oh, nightmare fuel!
Bruno is in Uranus!
Bruno's coming out of Uranus.
Well, it's kind of normal, usually. Bruno loves male dog anus, so he just saw Uranus, and he's like a Pavlov's dog.
He has to get in there, yeah.
You know, with Bruno in the shot, it kind of looked like that Three Wolves shirt with Stu and him.
Yeah.
I thought Noah chopped off her dog's head as punishment for some reason.
Oh.
No, Bruno went on a walk and said goodbye before he left.
Oh.
But to get back on the topic, Would you pay for something like that, Noah? No, if it was like Naglfar or Falconer.
Or Lester McCready.
See a band from the convenience of my own home?
And interact and like...
I might, but I do like the live, you know...
Nothing, it will never, like...
It'll never be
not,
the same.
Yeah, it'll never... Nothing will ever replicate that. It's impossible. It's literally impossible because you don't have the sound system. You don't have the bass shaking your body. You don't have the annoyance of people around you.
These all sound like good things, Rob, that you're listening right now.
And also, you just have to think of, like, you know, bands are trying to figure out ways that they could do something right now and make some money.
Right. It's a way to support the artists. That I am for.
Can I say, speaking of that, I just saw an ad for some service where John Cleese has a one-on-one Zoom chat with you. Like he just
How expensive is that?
It didn't say what the price was.
Well, it's
but,
probably like a Cameo-esque situation. Right?
It's a Cameo Plus. Like you literally go on with him.
Oh, right, because it's a two-way conversation with Cameo is one way.
You can talk to him. Like, yeah, Cameo is you just tell them what to say. This is like he actually answers your questions. And according to him, like you can ask him anything you want, which I'm sure is not true.
I don't know what I would even ask him.
Yeah, like John Cleese, I mean, I'm a big fan of his, but I don't have like any biting questions I need to ask.
Yeah, he's done
but
a lot of interviews.
There's probably other people I would use that service for. And like,
well, I would say here's who it would work for, like a significant other's wedding or birthday present if they're a big Monty Python fan. Right. Or I could see like a screenwriter chatting with him, asking him advice on like writing the script or breaking the script. I don't know.
Yep. That must be expensive because A, he's already a multimillionaire, and B, like that's got to be the most tedious thing in the world to like talk to normies all day about their writing questions, you know?
But here, let me read you these three chapters, then you give me notes. And then he just sits there in silence for half an hour.
Like the guy's holding up his scene, right? He's holding up his
Tell
papers,
me when
reading
to turn.
It. Yeah. No. He's reading from his book, not looking up. And when he looks up again, John Cleese is hanging from the ceiling.
It's just by his shoes.
By a rope.
Oh, wow.
Brutal.
Who is holding to end it? Now it's my chance. Now it's my chance. I'm going to say.
I mean, maybe it's just like a random old man in a face mask and you just think it's John Cleese.
Well, it's pretty
the
good.
Way some British students like scamming money.
That'd be great. Yeah. It's got the worst British accent.
Yeah.
I wonder who else is on the service.
I wish I could remember the name, but you could probably look backwards, look it up by John Cleese. You know, one-on-one Zoom chat or whatever.
It's spelled K-L-E-E-Z, Rob.
That's not how you spell it.
John, please. On anything you please.
Got some kind of weird branded name or something. Whoa, Rob, your chair just phased into our dimension
Whoa,
for like a
disturbing.
Second.
Oh, that's
disturbing. Whoa. Oh, man.
Let's see. I can't find it.
Oh, all right. Maybe I'll try to find it while we're discussing some stuff.
I am.
Oh, here we go. John Cleese 80 charging fans £250 for insult-filled video messages.
No,
it might be Cameo.
I don't think that's
sample?
It. That's not it.
Yeah, no, that's it's talking about his Cameo page. And I assume there would be a sample. Because it's Cameo has that. Which, by the way,
I found it. Go ahead. Sorry.
I looked up what's his name? Vince Neil on Cameo.
Oh yeah.
To see if like there were any new ones to make fun of.
Like a quarantine edition.
Right. Like if he's done any new cameos that we can like laugh about, but he is. Temporarily unavailable.
Well, think about it, man. Think of all these celebrities that can't get their Botox treatments.
Oh,
well, they're on
lockdown.
You're
right. That's
what does Vince Neil even look like right now?
He probably finds a way. He's got enough money to bribe the guy to come over to his crib or whatever.
I feel like he's like D-list enough that like there's way bigger celebrities.
Well,
that are
with
getting
the Botox
cheaper.
Thing, you could probably just, they come to your house. It's just like, you don't need to be in a hospital for it. It's just,
what if, yeah. What if they get like an 83 foot long needle and they just guide it through your window or whatever.
Oh my God.
Do we want to watch some John Cleese cameos?
Yeah, the site is called Fanmio. I couldn't think of the name. F-A-N-M-I-O. This
we'll
is not
check
live.
It out in a sec, but let's see this John. Let's see how John Cleese roasts folks.
Oh,
oh my God! He looks like he's about to sneeze on all of these. Can we get him to do the cock destroyer speech?
Oh,
it's gonna be expensive.
It might be worth it.
Yeah, get to the point. Yeah. Hey,
let's try another one.
Can you pause it? I was gonna say that was two minutes and 14 seconds into the video, and he still was like waffling about how he got
it. And I think we should possibly insult you using Henry III, Shakespeare's play.
And
very
all of these,
nice.
He holds the phone like as if it's like POV port, and he's about to get a shot to the face.
Yeah, I was about to say that this is someone needs to help him with his angle because he's like he's in the lower 30% of the shot in each case. John Cleese here, about to get a nut shot on my chin. Very dangly, and lots of thick ropes will be blast across my face. My mustache adhering to them will take weeks to get out. Awful, awful. I
John Cleese
my...
here.
Sorry.
John Cleese here, wondering aloud. A S L.
John Cleese here, thinking maybe beginning to fancy my stepsister. Hoping that a large African-American individual could bang my wife as her high heels press into my testicles.
You know who's done that.
John Cleese for cameo. I do believe that is a dead parrot. If you're into that kind of thing, please commence wanking your Peter now.
All right, let's hear a little more of this. Look at his neck.
Yeah.
It's like got that horror movie over there.
I mean, he's 800 years old.
Yeah. Anyway, this is not funny.
Yeah.
It is, it's hilarious. His videos are not funny, but us making him into a porn star is.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more. Should we do "By Mom" for Christopher, for Peter?
Rob, what I think you should do is scroll down to the bottom where it says enroll as talent and set up your own cameo page and let's see how many hits he gets.
I don't want to do that.
What do you have to lose? Why? Do they charge you just for having the page?
No, but I'm just...
Do it! Do it!
Robert has bunny here.
You put a big, like, button on top of every metal injection page linking to it.
No.
You know who's going to be your first customer? Frankie Palmieri.
Yeah, I heard Robert Pazbini or whatever. He has a cameo now.
Whatever, I don't
whatever.
Care.
I don't even know who he is, really.
I didn't pay $20.
I know every detail about his life, and like including where he sold water at a club 25 years ago. I know nothing about him.
He once said something about my tattoo. I think he really likes it.
Yeah, I just recorded a song where I could specifically call him out and mold on him. But, you know.
I don't listen to his podcast or nothing.
Yeah, I only know exactly the first 10 Shlomo rants by heart and everything. I don't know anything about it or anything.
Imagine if Shlomo was on Cameo. Shlomio.
He'd be more money than I would.
Oh, Shlomio.
Shlomio.
Wherefore art thou Shlomio?
Oh, Shlomio.
John Cleese here, reading a cameo for Frankie Palmieri. I believe that. He wants me to say that you should send him $40 on his Patreon. What is a Patreon? Not quite sure what a Patreon is, but send some money to the Patreon for Frankie Palmieri.
John Cleese here for Frankie Palmieri, wondering who is this Robert Pazzabini? And why does he think that I, John Cleese, am a member of Glass Casket?
John Cleese here has been sent 14 pages of information that I'm supposed to read about Robert Pazzabini, and also, asterisk at the end, say and emphasize that you don't know who he is. Signed, Frankie Palmieri.
Oops, I wasn't supposed to read that part.
Oh, sorry. Correction. I do not read the last part that says I do not. Only the part that says I do not know who Robert Pazzabini is. There you have it. Frankie Palmieri, career as dead as Graham Chapman.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because Amira this week did officially launch their Patreon.
And you can launch your thick ropes onto my face. Go to onlyfans.com/John Cleese. Sorry, go ahead.
Amazing.
No, I'm enjoying it very much.
You're bookmarking that for later.
Okay, shall we shift to Amir's cameo?
Sure. Wait, they have a cameo?
Yeah, I mean, not a cameo. A Patreon.
I got my hopes up.
A Patreon, I'm sorry.
They probably have a fucking cameo.
Oh, my
God.
Hold on. I have an announcement.
Uh-oh.
Frankie's podcast is back.
No way. Oh, my God.
How many have there been since we last looked at it? Just one?
I think he just restarted it. Hold on. I'm not really sure.
That'd be great. Now, while you're
I'm assuming
that
probably
up.
With the quarantine, he's out. He has plenty of time to record now.
I was gonna say while you're looking that up about the Amur. So this is Amur. This is so Frankie has his own separate one.
No. This is Amur's.
But all right. So but the one
he's Amur.
He is Amur, but I mean I thought it was like in the name of Frankie Palmieri.
Okay.
Well,
guys.
If you remember, hold on, Noah. But, like, if you remember a few months ago, he said you can just mail him $20 or PayPal him $20.
Oh,
their
so, that's,
clubs.
So that's too
and
evade.
People were like, yeah, people were like, this is kind of shady. Why not use, like, an official service like Patreon? And so that's what they did. So
oh, I get
this,
it now.
He has this welcome video.
Because it's a dipshit.
One of my favorite things about quarantine is like peeking at people's rooms.
Yes.
And like this is like where he lives. This is and also I want to say like not that I assume Frankie is some big rock star, but like this is reality. Like
he could do
like
better
this,
than that.
It's one room though. You don't know how many rooms
maybe
he has.
Maybe it's a studio.
Yeah.
You're right, but like this is indicative of what most dudes in bands places look like. It's not some mansion. It's just an apartment.
I don't think anybody was expecting Frankie Palmieri to live in a mansion, Rob. I think that we're good there.
All right, cool. I noticed the marijuana over here.
Rob, look at that. Go down to the left. There's like a little bottle of Powerade just sitting on the floor. Is that what I'm seeing?
Where is that?
Right, it's right over
bottle.
The second.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
Over the second avenue. Right there.
I think I see a Tylenol cold and flu right there on that cabinet.
That's right. There's a lot of stains on that door, too. You get a couple of Clorox wipes on that shit.
Got a little Simpsons.
Are those handbags hanging off the hook?
Probably totes, because, you know, you're living in Queens. You know, there's no plastic bags anymore. You need totes.
Well, I think they relaxed that during the coronavirus.
That's true.
I think we can have them.
By the way, if you want to see what the fuck we're talking about right now and you're listening on audio, you can subscribe to our Patreon.
That's right. Patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. You get video versions of these handy dandy epis. Okay, so here it is.
Is that a threat?
Rob, pause it for a second, please. Can you pause it? I there might be something, maybe it's because we're on Zoom. There's something wrong with the audio. I hear this horrible screeching like a falcon or a vulture in the background while he's talking. Is that our audio equipment fucking up?
No, that's a Muir.
That's a Muir? That is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. What is people listen to this?
Not many.
Wow. That's terrible.
You could fill one socially distanced Arkansas concert venue with the amount of people who listen to this.
Maybe.
Well, let's not let you get any ideas.
No.
Who's Josh?
The guitarist of the band.
Josh from Wales.
Oh, man.
That's it. He moved on from
Arkansas. Back.
That's so sad.
He's moved up in the world.
I feel like this should have ended 30 seconds ago.
He's even adopting the begging, like posture. Like, he's like, please give me money. He looks almost like the right-wing, alt-right caricature of a Jew when they do the big nose guy. Send us money. He's like the rat-faced Jew stereotype. Yeah.
He is so awkward. Like, he can't even look at the camera. He's like a gun is being held to his head to do this Patreon.
Can I ask something? Why did he do this video 4,000 times? Is it just 4,000 bad takes that he did?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't know how to ask for money nicely.
Oh my God. What a crock of shit.
You know what I
was
noticed?
Is that a threat?
He likes to mix his music hot, like on his podcast, on this thing, so you could barely hear him. It's really annoying.
Smart.
Yeah, I mean, but then the thing you're hearing instead of him is also him.
Yeah.
Ooh, a personalized thank you video from members of Immure.
It'll take him 4,000 times to get the video finished.
That's the perk that you don't get it for a long time. if you pay $25, you get a personalized video from Immure, and if you pay $50, you don't get a personalized
video. Yeah.
Here's Sam. Is John Cleese doing
this? Looks cheaper, at least $29.99.
Yeah.
So what do you get? Bronze package, shirt, and chance to meet John Cleese. Gross.
What's gross?
$200.
Wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
Where do you meet him though?
You meet him on Zoom. Like, you don't really meet him.
One-on-one video.
Meet him in a personal meet and greet. Yeah.
Only 5 will be selected.
Guaranteed to have a personal one-on-one meet and greet, which is $200. But look, if times are tough, you can pay as low as $36 a month with Klarna. That's nice. But
I don't even know what's Klarna.
I'm assuming it's like an Uber for fucking payment plans.
So it's like just you financing your...
Yes, exactly. You finance.
Oh, my God.
Imagine being so broke that but you still need to talk to John Cleese that badly that you finance this.
Jesus Christ.
So now for $300, you also get I'm trying to see what the difference is here. You still get the one-on-one.
You get an autograph.
Oh, you get an autograph, the shirt, and a ticket to one of his events. Okay.
Okay.
So it seems like either $300 for a cameo or $300 for this. This seems like a much better deal. You actually get to talk to him.
Yeah.
But he,
oh no.
Oh my God, Floyd Mayweather. God. Fat Joe.
Oh God, I gotta see what Fat Joe says.
For $400.
Oh, for $1,000.
Punch your wife.
Why does, I mean, Floyd Mayweather gets like $20 million a fight. Like, why does he need this?
Because what's his nickname, Darren?
Money.
That's it.
But like,
he's like, hey, you give me $1,000, I'll talk to somebody for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what, but I'm saying, like, even that, like, if you're on that level of money, he probably has at least close to $1 billion.
Let's hear his hype.
He has a lot of medical bills, I'm sure.
Yeah. This isn't, wait, isn't this Kevin Hart?
No.
I think you played the wrong one, Rob.
Wow, he's reading. Good for him.
Well, yeah.
He's not reading, Rob. He's someone's saying it next to him, like very low, and he's just
someone's
like,
miming
Noah,
it to him.
Noah, just so you understand the reference, there's been a long rumor that he is illiterate.
Not a rumor.
I said someone's miming it to him.
50 Cent actually provided proof of this. I think it was 50 Cent, right? I'm not sure, but he.
I think so. Yeah.
He played like a backstage, like he was reading some read for a radio show he was on.
Oh, for a hip hop show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I saw this. Yeah.
And he couldn't do it and he was getting frustrated. Like he couldn't read off the paper. So that was revealed as proof that he cannot read.
Now that I think about it, you're right. He isn't reading. They're just feeding him a line after line because
yeah,
every line they cut.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's it?
He's also doing that begging thing. Frankie.
Ask me. Haven't we played that sketch? Ask me.
Just don't ask me what's on my hat or my shirt because I can't read what the fuck it says.
Oh.
Tim Curry.
Oh, Tim Curry. The one person of the, well, I guess John Cruise. But let's see how much Tim Curry.
By the way, that's a, so like, that's at least a 20-year-old photo of John Cleese.
Oh,
dear.
No.
Oh,
he looks terrible.
Good. Looks like he had a stroke.
Yeah, he's talking out of one side of his face. That sucks. Tim Curry.
He's actually pretty reasonable.
Well, this is just to like watch something. This isn't to actually go back and forth, I don't think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is, you get like a Tim Curry shoot.
Does he talk about Baby Daniel? He's got some Baby Daniel takes. I might sign up.
Sure. Can
if
we
you
just
go,
make
if you
him
go to the next?
God, sorry.
I was gonna say, if you go to the next page, you can pay $500 to push up the left side of his face.
God damn!
Take a bow, Noah.
Savage.
That's a lie of the week.
That's terrible.
I'm going to hell.
Oh, God. You can pay Floyd Mayweather to punch you back into position.
Oh, yeah.
We got a caller.
Ooh.
Let's see if this works. 956, you're on the live cast. 956.
Hello.
Hey, what's your name? Where are you from?
This is Ed the Beast from Deep South Texas. I called in 2 weeks ago for the first time. I'm the blind amputee.
Hey, right.
Hello, Ed.
Well, hey, good news. We can have Floyd Mayweather punch your eyesight back, potentially, via fanmedium.com.
I would gladly appreciate that.
Not reasonable. Say that again?
I'm sorry?
We didn't hear the last thing you said. What did you say?
Oh, no, I said I would gladly appreciate it if you punched back my fucking eyesight.
Well, we can always try. We can try.
So what's going on, guys? I haven't listened to the podcast because I am having trouble trying to hear it live weekly. So I just wanted to call in and say hi, and again, just show my appreciation to you guys for getting me through. The past couple of months, you guys are fucking hilarious. Darren, your fucking voices are phenomenal. You're the man. Robert, you're the fucking guy, dude. You're fucking awesome. Oh. Noah, oh my God. I don't know where to start with you, man. seriously, you're fucking, you are, in my opinion, like the perfect woman. Sid, the jury is out on you, man. I don't know.
That's the way Sid would have wanted it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, man. I just want, you know, just thank you for everything that you've you guys do. I mean, just kudos to all four of you, man. Just thank you very much for getting me through just some very dark times, man. Just fucking amen.
You're still in the hospital? I mean, hospital?
Oh, no. Actually, I'm home now, so I'm doing a lot better. You know, I just got I got my wound. I still have to, you know, nurse, and I'm still going to dialysis, but, you know, that's a lifelong thing, I guess, until I can get a kidney transplant.
Hmm.
Rob, do you want to give me a kidney?
Rob, see how much it costs on FanMeo to get John Cleese's kidney.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's like 102 years old. Come on.
Don't you want a younger kidney?
Tier is that? The kidney.
Well, as always, we love hearing from you, and we're glad we can provide you some distraction from the shittiness of real life. But we're actually right about to wrap up our show.
Wait, yeah. Can we read that like Holodeus note?
Yeah. I wanted to say goodbye. Spoiler alert. But thank you for calling.
He's having a one-on-one with Floyd Mayweather right now. I heard him.
I put him on mute, but okay.
So now he's blind and mute, Rob. Come on, insult to injury.
Oh, come on.
Rob.
How many senses does this guy have left?
Rob took them all.
All right. Well, so first we got something from Official C. We got some email. By the way, if you want to send us some feedback, we love hearing from you. We love to know what you think about the show if you can't listen live.
You know what you should say? You should say when you can listen live. I don't think you mentioned that today.
I mentioned it at the top of the show.
Oh, okay.
But I'll
say it. Jeez.
Which will be Tuesdays at 6 p.m. 6:30 p.m. Eastern till 8 p.m. Pacific. What? 6:30 to 8 Eastern time. Yeah, that's it. By the way, Dave was in our YouTube chat while we were talking about Frankie Palmieri. And he said on the Patreon, 600 a month gets you access to play a cover of Limp Bizkit with Frankie. And then he asked, how much for a job resume read from Dave Ellison nowadays? I think it's about the same. Dave Ellison is one
He's
of the
only
first
reading
people
his own
that
resume
was on
now.
That was on Cameo. Like when we were doing that riffing on David Ellison all those years ago, that was on Cameo.
He's
so
a
now
pioneer.
It's just the norm. Yeah. okay. So.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Hate mail at metalinjection.net if you want to email us during the week. If you hear something on the show and you have something to input, or if we ask a question or we said something wrong, tell us how wrong we are. Hate mail at metalinjection.net. You can of course send an email or record an audio memo with your phone or your computer. You can email that voice memo track, or you could use our SpeakPipe widget. It is on our website, metalinjection.net/livecast. Hit the widget. And then you'll just be able to just record with your computer mic or your phone mic and play an audio voicemail. So let's read some hate mail from Official C. He says, "Hey, Livecast, question for Noah. Noah, do you plan on trying out any other disciplines of martial arts after you feel that you've mastered BJJ? I've always appreciated martial arts and took karate classes when I was a kid. I recently decided I'm going to take it up again as soon as I can." Also, a similar question for the guys. Any of you interested in martial arts, or do you prefer martial farts? P.S. You guys are helping to keep me sane during lockdown. Always a relief to hear your voices. Thanks. Well, thank you, Official C. We're glad that we could make lockdown slightly less shitty. But no.
I did do Noah first.
No. Go ahead, Darren. Please.
I was going to say I did do martial arts when I was a much, much younger person.
What did you do?
You do
jiu-jitsu, but not Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
You know your jujitsu well.
And I enjoyed it. I wasn't like, didn't advance to like a black belt or anything, but it was fun. It was good exercise and all that. I was considering looking at my options of what to, like maybe go back and take classes again before right before the world ended. So it's a possibility.
In karate?
I don't know what discipline I would do. I was doing research on it.
You're in Noah's gym. You could go grapple each other.
It doesn't really appeal to me. Like I want to do something with like strikes in it. I don't mind the
shit.
I don't mind the grappling, but I don't want it to be like a grapple based.
Well, think about this. This is how you win. You go to the grappling place and you yourself implement the strike. You beat all of them.
Just beat the shit out of them. I don't follow rules.
It's like Michael Scott in The Office in his improv class, where every improv is just he had a gun.
Yeah, I don't know that one. But
oh, you didn't
funny.
See that episode?
I'm not a big Office guy.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
So probably I will only take jujitsu because I feel like with the quarantine and stuff, I'm like losing a lot of information and I'm not like training like I used to. So it's already going to be enough to have to like work up, you know, that discipline. It's kind of a bummer and it really sucks. And it's something I was doing like 5 days a week, sometimes even more than that. And then like to nothing. So I'm kind of sad about it. I was supposed to take my purple belt test. That's not going to happen for a while. So I have enough, you know, like I still have enough to, a lot to accomplish in jujitsu. So I'm not even thinking about anything else at the moment.
And then we had something on our Facebook page, facebook.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And I posted a video. Somebody made a, well, I joked that it was a holodietz pie.
Oh.
But it was like a clear gelatin pie with like a chocolate crust, essentially, and some whipped cream. What were you going to say, Darren?
I was going to basically describe it, but it looked like jello. Like it wasn't nearly as disgusting as holodietz, I would say.
It still freaked me out. I don't know. It's still disgusting looking to me.
It was, when I looked at the person who tweeted the video, they posted the recipe, and it was just clear gelatin. It was flavorless jello, basically. So after I posted this, one of our listeners, share this little anecdote that I want to share before we get out of here. And he says, my partner's grandmother grew up in Russia. When I first met her a few years ago, my knowledge of Russian was pretty much limited to the stuff I'd heard on the live cast. Regrettably, the word holodietz came out of my stupid mouth. And dear Babushka was so delighted that she went straight to the fridge and brought out a big dish of her own homemade holodietz.
Torture.
See, does every babushka just have that in like the fridge?
It's
like having mac and cheese around. Like it's just always there.
It's just making use of every part of the chicken. That's just how they were raised. It's like you don't waste food. And I
feel like that's worse than wasting it. I'd rather waste it.
It's desecrating its memory.
It's like pissing on a tombstone.
Yeah. If a chicken is put into holodietz, it can never get into chicken heaven.
It's like a tattoo for Jews.
It's cursed for eternity, yeah.
They get to the pearly gates and they're like, I'm here to go to chicken heaven. They're like, oh, wait. It says here you were put into holodietz. Is that accurate? I guess. I'm sorry. You're going to hell. Sorry. Done.
It's fucked up. Not even limbo with Patrick Swayze, just straight to hell.
To hell. Doesn't matter if you participated or not.
Well, so Babushka was so delighted, she went straight to the fridge and brought out a big dish
delighted.
Of her own homemade elegance. Being far too polite for my own good, I accepted a generous helping. Oh, boy. And sat there, forcing it down by masking the flavor, which can only be described... which can only be described as cat food in a salty, oily jelly with very strong mustard.
How does he know what cat food tastes like?
It does smell like cat food, though.
Yeah.
The fishiness of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not necessarily fish. It's not,
but the non-fish holodeck that I ate smelled like fish. It smelled like nasty, unwashed bouquillac. It smelled like just the fucking girl's toisole that hasn't been washed in like 14 days with fucking smegma on it. It's interesting.
The mustard, because I feel like I've eaten it with like horseradish, never really mustard. Like horseradish.
He didn't eat it with mustard. He was just describing the smell of it.
No, he said very strong mustard.
Yeah. He tried to cover up the taste with the mustard.
I see. I misheard.
So he concludes, once finished, I managed to calmly exit the room with as much English dignity as I could muster.
Yeah.
Once finished, I managed to calmly exit the room with as much English dignity as I could muster to the bathroom where said holodeck and mustard came back out largely through my nose. I blame Rava entirely for this experience.
You know, holodeck is the only food that tastes better as vomit coming back through your body.
I don't think so, Darren. I don't think so.
The worst food ever created on the planet Earth.
I'm sorry, I had to put you through that.
Yeah, I have PTSD from this shit.
Holodeck to me is what Rebecca Moore is to Darren.
Yeah.
Like, you just.
Well, holodeck to me is also what Rebecca Moore is to me.
That's fucked up that you have two of those things.
Yeah. Well, come on, Sid. I feel like it's in the same ballpark for you too.
No, I think Rebecca Moore is. I mean, I don't. I think it's repugnant, but hilariously so.
I mean, okay. I think holodeck is hilariously repugnant.
But here's the thing: both of those things are in our lives because of Rob.
Yeah, he loves both of them too.
Mm. I wouldn't say I love holodeck. I like it. I'm not
Rob.
Like,
how much would you pay on Fanmeo for a one-on-one holodeck brunch with Rebecca Moore?
Oh my God, I would love that. Although I don't know what I would talk to her about. What would I talk?
I think
to her
we
about?
All know what you would talk to her about.
Yeah, it would not be shared on this.
It'd be about Darren.
What do you mean?
They would have a bitch fest about how mean I am to her.
Well, I guess that's really it for the show. This one just flew by. We kind of ran a little long.
Yeah.
And I want to mention our top live cast.